Well, hello and welcome back to Archaeology News Weekly. I am David Connolly, and it's also good to have Dave Horrocks back from Africa. So you'll probably notice a marked improvement in the quality of the sound here, and our fabulous little bit of backing music too. So this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Evidence of prehistoric humans is unearthed on a university's backyard in India. Controversy over cleaning of ancient art in Utah becomes a mystery. And a prehistoric transatlantic crossing, fact or fiction, or fatal flaw. We report on a new visitor centre opening at Cresswell Crags in the UK, and still in the UK, on a school dig, a 9-year-old schoolboy manages to find a Mesolithic tool. Amazing news of a prehistoric cave found in southwest China beneath a temple. And we have a new story about a 5-year plan for Maltese megalithic temples. The world's oldest beads are becoming older, perhaps even 100,000 years old. An unusual prehistoric spear tip is found in Slovenia, while back with school children again, an ancient artifact is unearthed in Massachusetts. The hobbit foot turns out to be like no other in the human fossil record, so says a new report. And finally, archaeologists uncover ancient sites in Maryland, and indeed, they manage to find everything but what they're looking for. Clear evidence of the existence of prehistoric humans in Thanjavur region of India has been identified in the archaeological excavations undertaken by Tamil University. The excavations carried out in the past 2 weeks on the university campus revealed evidence of the existence of Paleolithic and Mesolithic cultures in stratified contexts. The Paleolithic artifacts consisted of scrapers and flake tools and were found just above the rock surface below a sterile layer that separated the earlier phase from the soil which produced the Mesolithic artifacts, signifying a chronological gap between the two cultures. An archaeologist claims someone's been secretly cleaning a Utah tourist attraction. If so, the mysterious high-pressure washes may be damaging world-famous rock art in Nine Mile Canyon. A tourist-friendly development has just been completed near the rock art, with fence rails put up, a pedestrian walkway created, and gravel road moved further away from the ancient Indian art called the Great Hunt Panel. It was a collaborative effort by government, industry, and archaeology lovers to preserve and protect. But that spirit of cooperation is harder to detect in the larger issue of Nine Mile Canyon, which some fear is already a losing battle against industrialization. The biggest issue is dust from hundreds of industry vehicles, which is obscuring many ancient artworks. But the most famous one, the Great Hunt Panel, seems brighter and more colourful, less dusty, even compared with art a few feet away. It's believed that someone has been washing the Great Hunt Panel at least 2 or 3 times with a high-pressure equipment. State Trust land officials who control the area believe it's rainfall cleaning the Great Hunt Panel. Well, I think it's time for a little webcam to watch who the little mystery high-pressure washer is. Now, this is a story we've actually reported on before, when German adventurer Dominique Gorlitz set out from New York Harbour in July 2007 to prove that a voyage in a traditional Bolivian reed boat from New Jersey to the Azores was possible. He attracted quite a lot of sceptical, if downright snarky press, probably as well from us. Now, a new documentary aired on the National Geographic Channel showed that those who warned that the expedition was a big risk for little scientific return were, without giving too much away, pretty much on the money. The show is called Lost in the Atlantic, which might give you some sense of how things turned out for his crew and Gorlitz himself of the 40-foot Abora 3. The 45-minute special is a strangely gripping look at how dubious experimental archaeology in the open ocean can make for high drama, as in the life and death variety. The theories underpinning Gorlitz's quest are warmed over notions first brought to public attention by Thor Heyerdahl, the famed Norwegian explorer. Gorlitz, meant to build on Heyerdahl's successful east-west Atlantic voyages and show that a return trip to the Old World was possible. The documentary does not explore who it was that Gorlitz thinks was making these transatlantic crossings, other than a generic ancient people who were possibly linked to the Bronze Age Nebra disc, which was found in Germany and seems to depict stars that voyagers possibly might have sailed by. Joining Gorlitz is a cheery crew of nine mostly northern Europeans. According to the voiceover, sailing expertise was not a prerequisite for the expedition, only an adventurous spirit, and they certainly had that. Once a Bolivian shaman had blessed the boat, Abora 3 set sail from New Jersey. What follows is 57 days filled with storms and failing equipment, as well as long stretches of the Abora 3 sitting in becalmed seas and going round in circles. Not to give the ending away, but by day 54, the crew's main task seems to be reducing disintegration of the boat's reed infrastructure, which is now rotting. We don't learn much about ancient sea craft in the course of the show, and Gorlitz is no Thor Heyerdahl, but we probably haven't heard the last of him, as Abora 4, the show promises, is already being built. This review was from Archaeology, and I have to confess, they have whetted my appetite. I can't wait to see this film. It may have been around for millions of years, but Cresswell Crags on the border between Derbyshire and Nottinghamshire in England has often remained something of a mystery to generations of local people. But all that has changed, thanks to a £14 million investment in the site to make it more visitor-friendly than it has ever been before. Around £4.5 million of cash has been paid for a brand new on-site museum and education centre, a magnificent building created to help people to take a look at and even change their established views of prehistory in the UK. And now, with building work completed, the move into the new premises has finally begun. Site Heritage Officer Rebecca Clay said, over a period of time, the new museum will be displaying some of the most exciting Ice Age artefacts ever found locally. And the major partner, the British Museum, will be loaning other artefacts for display as part of a rolling programme of temporary exhibitions. The first one features an animal rib with an engraved horse's head, which was discovered in the 1870s, and was indeed the first example of Ice Age art ever found in Britain. So this is going to become a must-visit location for anyone who has an interest in this more distant past. I was actually invited to go along to the opening, and sadly, I am going to be away at the time, otherwise I would definitely have gone to this. So, if you're in the area, why not go along? Prehistoric flint tools were a surprise discovery at an archaeological dig run by TV presenter Julian Richards at a school in Shaftesbury in Dorset, England. Three trenches were dug in fields next to St James Church, adjacent to Abbey Primary School, and every pupil was allowed to visit them during the course of last week. Julian Richards, a Shaftesbury resident himself and mainstay of the hit TV programme Meet the Ancestors, was surprised and delighted when the children's diligent digging unearthed a Mesolithic stone tool. They thought there was a medieval dwelling there and were expecting to find lots of old pottery, but not expecting to find stone tools such as this. The flint that was found is a blade that had been worked by a very skilled flint worker and is at least 6,000 years old. Another smaller one was found in the same trench later that afternoon. The discovery was made by Tammy Pike, aged 9. The tool will either be kept at the school itself or donated to Gold Hill Museum. The project was the brainchild of Claire Riley, an education volunteer from Shaftesbury Museum, who won funding for the project from the Museums, Library and Archives Council for the South West. So, if I can make a request, can we have more of these, please? It just goes to show that education and archaeology work so well together. There's so many skills that the kids can learn using archaeology as their tool. A group of construction workers have accidentally stumbled upon a prehistoric cave underneath a Buddhist temple in southwest China. The cave, containing hundreds of mammal fossils and stone implements, was between 10 to 40,000 years old. Workers hired to relocate one of the Buddha statues at a donor's suggestion last month found a hole about the size of a rice bowl. When they dug deeper, they found a cave beneath it. Before this major discovery, archaeologists had found similar pieces of stone implements near the temple. A large research dig is now under preparation. Heritage Malta is asking for feedback to a draft management plan for the megalithic temples that outlines the conservation challenges and objectives for the next 5 years. Among the challenges identified are physical accessibility and the impact of climate change. The plan proposes the promotion of farming within the site's buffer zones and the mitigation of the visual impact of development around the temples. The viability of extending World Heritage inscription of megalithic temples to Cordon 3 will also be examined. Heritage Malta chairman Joseph Said said that almost 10% of the world's UNESCO World Heritage sites, 8 in all, were in Malta, which meant the resources were constrained. Funds are what they are, and the country's assets are out of proportion to its size, he said, pointing out how much it costs to keep certain sites open and how low the revenue from entrance ticket was, even if some 500,000 people visit these sites each year. Being World Heritage sites, the agency was under enormous pressure to protect them, adding that the UNESCO label was both an honour and an obligation. Feedback can be submitted until the end of July to World Heritage sites at gov.mt. I'll just give you that again. That's World Heritage Sites, all one word, at gov.mt. If you go along to the website for Heritage Malta, you'll also get to see the draft management plan, something you might actually want to do before actually commenting on it. A team of archaeologists have uncovered some of the world's earliest shell ornaments in a limestone cave in eastern Morocco. The researchers have found 47 examples of the Nassarius marine shells, most of them perforated and including examples covered in red ochre, at the Grotte de Pigeon at Tafuralt. The fingernail-sized shells, already known from 82,000-year-old Aterian deposits in the cave, have now been found even earlier. While the team is still awaiting exact dates for these layers, they believe the discovery makes them arguably the earliest shell ornaments in prehistory. The shells are currently at the centre of debate concerning the origins of modern behaviour in early humans. Many archaeologists regard the shell bead ornaments as proof that anatomically modern humans had developed a sophisticated symbolic material culture. Aside from the latest discovery unearthing an even greater number of beads, the research team says the most striking examples of the Tafuralt discoveries is that identical shell types should appear in two such geographically distinct regions. The new evidence shows that the Aterian in Morocco dates back to at least 110,000 years ago. Slovenian archaeologists have found a wooden spear tip believed to be between 38 and 45,000 years old in a river near the capital Ljubljana. The tip, unique for being made of wood, was found in the Institute's underwater archaeology team last September at a riverbank construction site in the Ljubljansko wetlands west of the capital. Due to its form, the object was compared to Seletian stone spear tips, typical for Central Europe between 50 and 35,000 BCE. The dating was later confirmed by radiometric research in a laboratory at Beta Analytic in Miami and the Oxford Research Laboratory for Archaeology in the UK. The spear tip was made of yew, the most appropriate wood to make hunting equipment, and a resin coating was preserved on one of its sides. It's tough for Marshall Hale to look at like a swashbuckling movie archaeologist such as Indiana Jones. After all, he's only 5 years old. Yet it wasn't Indiana Jones, but Marshall who recently turned up a tangible link to the past, a sculpted piece of stone about 5 inches long, dropped by an ancient fisherman who once used it to anchor his nets in the river in Maynard, Massachusetts in the USA. According to Concord Museum director David Wood, the artifact is called a plummet. Although not much is known about plummets, Wood said that the prevailing theory is that they were used by Native Americans to weigh down their reed-woven fishing nets. It's estimated to date to between 3,500 to 4,500 years old. Well done, that guy. An international team of paleoanthropologists, anatomists and archaeologists have published the first scientific analysis of the foot of Homo floresiensis, the fossil found in Indonesia in 2003 and popularly referred to as the Hobbit. Lead author William L. Youngers of Stony Brook University and his colleagues documented the Hobbit's unusual combination of ape-like and human-like foot features, which clearly enabled bipedal walking, despite its surprisingly primitive design. Their findings provide further evidence that the ancestor of this species was perhaps not Homo erectus, but instead another more primitive and remote hominem. The authors point out that the hobbit foot was a relatively short length that far exceeds the upper limits for modern humans, either of average or short stature. The foot is similar in relative length to pygmy chimpanzees, with long and curved toes, but it also sports a short big toe in line with the other toes. While the foot has an overall structure that signals bipedal walking, it appears to have been flat-footed and poorly designed for running. A foot like this has never been seen before in the human fossil record. County archaeologists searching for clues about Native American settlements in what became Anne Arundel County in Maryland, USA, have hit a treasure trove of pottery, arrowheads, and perhaps even the remnants of a wigwam near Jug Bay. The only problem is that they haven't hit their specific target, evidence of the Middle Woodland period, which roughly dates to around 10 to 900 CE. Instead, there's plenty of shards of earlier and later settlements, including the amazing find like a 10,000-year-old spear point. The dig started when archaeologists and volunteers from the county's Lost Towns project dug a series of test pits to determine if there was indeed any evidence of prehistoric settlement in the area. They even found evidence of Indian settlement, telltale patterns of dark round spots in the earth, indicating saplings stuck into the ground to build a wigwam, which dates from around 500 CE and could be the oldest structure ever found in Maryland. Luckenbach believes that generations of Native Americans came to the spot along the Patuxent to feast on the water's bounty. For 10,000 years, he thinks that they were on this promontory overlooking the river for a period in spring or perhaps even autumn, when they would have then moved on to another camp further inland. The study, funded by a grant from the Maryland Historical Trust beginning last year, is delving into the Middle Woodland period. Some 500 sites have so far been noted across the county over the years. Well, good luck to you. I know you'll find it out there somewhere. Well, it just goes to for me to say thank you very much for listening again this week. We've got record numbers of listeners, quite remarkable numbers of listeners. We're talking about the tens of thousands. So thanks to all of you who are making this a part of your week. And you'll be glad to know that next week, the new issue 8 of Past Horizons magazine will be coming out. So if you wait till perhaps, give us till Wednesday and then go along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine and you'll be able to click on issue 8. Can I also remind people that there's many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, and you can find that all on Badger, www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to us, and we hope you'll return again next week.